This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Audrey Nowakowski. The Wisconsin legislature's lame duck session has been making national headlines. This past Friday, Wisconsin Republicans made public a number of bills that would limit the power of the newly elected governor and attorney general.
The bills were released at the end of the workday Friday with a public hearing yesterday and a vote scheduled for today. Since then, local and national attention has prompted a lot of discussion both at the State House and around the water cooler.
We reached out to Patrick Marley, who covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to unpack this pending legislation. Marley spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers from the State House, and he starts by explaining the bills currently on the floor.
So they've got this pretty sweeping measure that would restrict the powers of the incoming Democratic governor, the incoming Democratic attorney general. It would restrict early voting. It would move the 2020 presidential primary and do a number of things that have got opponents up in arms.
It has a lot of people up in arms, not just here in the state of Wisconsin, but nationally. A lot of people are dubbing this, you know, the Wisconsin power grab. You know, you work with you at least speak with these politicians pretty regularly. What has been their response? Why are they putting these bills forward?
So the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, says that there should be a rebalance of the power in the state, that the shared governance between the governor and the legislature, and obviously the judiciary, and that he thinks too much power has been ceded to the governor. He wants to have the legislators have more say in the doings of the state. That's what he said right after the election when he first suggested this idea. We didn't see the actual bill language until late on Friday. So no one has really explained some things like the plans to greatly diminish the powers of the attorney general.
Yeah. So, you know, he says it's trying to rebalance the power. Is this something that was different before Scott Walker came into office? Are these things that are new powers that were given to him?
Some of what they're doing does take back powers they granted to Scott Walker when he first came to office. When he won in 2010, one of the first bills they passed in 2011 did Governor Walker more say over administrative rules, which are rules that implement the details of state laws. This would roll that back and put them into what they were previously. But it would also go further than that and make it easier for the lawmakers to permanently block any rules that Evers were to pass. And it would also put stiff limits on his ability to make any changes whatsoever to programs that are jointly run by the state and federal governments, like, you know, food share or other public benefits programs.
So it's really diminishing his power in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that if this passes and it becomes law, you know, the governor of the state of Wisconsin will still have very significant powers. The governor in Wisconsin wields likely the most powerful veto pen in the country. Any fiscal legislation the governor can rewrite wholesale, with very few limits on that power. The lawmakers can't touch that without a constitutional amendment, which requires a vote by the public.
Okay.
That said, the far more significant thing here is what's happening to the attorney general, because that the legislature does appear to have broad leeway in setting what powers the attorney general has, and they're looking at really scaling those back for Josh Call, the Democrat who just won in November.
Yeah, so what would this mean for the attorney general?
The legislators would be able to handpick private attorneys at taxpayer expense to handle any case the attorney general handles now. So they can pick their own attorneys and just basically substitute them for the attorney general when the state is sued for any number of things. And, you know, if a law passes and somebody sues over whether that law is constitutional, the lawmakers could push Call out of the way and put their own attorneys in place. A group of lawmakers would sign off on any court settlements. So that's everything from environmental cases to, you know, litigation over the conditions at the state's juvenile prison that was recently resolved. There's some other ongoing litigation related to that. The Solicitor General, which is a newly created position that oversees the most complex litigation, that office would be gone. And court settlement money would be in the control of the legislature rather than the Attorney General.
You know, right after the election, right after the 2018 election, Republicans said that, you know, Democrats do not have a mandate to lead the state. And they've said, you know, really, they were voted back into office, which is true. But what percentage of the overall vote did Republicans in the state get compared to Democrats in the state? Because I know in 2016, they received fewer votes, but maintained a majority.
Yeah, so I don't have that figure off the top of my head, but the results of the 2018 election are that Tony Evers narrowly won the governorship. Republicans maintained a very large majority in the legislature. The Democrats say the Republican control of the legislature is a function of gerrymandered maps. They say the maps aren't fair, and that's why Republicans have as many seats as they do. The Republicans say, no, the reason we have these large majorities is because Democratic voters are concentrated in Milwaukee and Madison, and that because those voters, there are many of them, and so they can affect statewide elections as they did in the U.S. Senate race and the attorney general race and governor's race, but legislatively, they're not dispersed around the state. So for legislative races, they don't have as much impact. This is a very hotly contested legal issue. It's in court now over the way those maps were drawn. The results of the 2018 election for the legislature will be sliced and diced by both sides and part of that litigation. At the end of the day, it's the U.S. Supreme Court that's going to decide whether the maps that Republicans drew for themselves in 2011 are constitutional or not. A lower court has found that they are not constitutional. The U.S. Supreme Court said those who brought the case didn't have standing and kicked it back to the lower court. So we'll have a new trial on that in April, and then we'll wind its way back to the Supreme Court.
That's something that's come up with these new bills, that if they're able to override the attorney general's ability to control these cases, if they're allowed to appoint their own lawyers, they would have a big impact on those cases moving forward.
There is just one case on redistricting that what the court said was that they needed a voter couldn't challenge more than their own district. They couldn't challenge the statewide map. So what that meant was that when the case got refiled, there were some new plaintiffs who might have standing to challenge the entire map, and they got in voters from virtually all districts in the state to challenge their districts so that they could make the case that so many maps need to be changed, that the entire statewide map needed to be changed. So there's one lawsuit.
Okay.
And the state assembly has, prior to this bill being introduced, intervened in that case. So it has its own lawyers in that case. So that is going to be a fight that plays out between a group of Democratic voters and other Democrats who brought the lawsuit against Republican lawmakers who have now intervened in the case. That is how that legal battle is going to play out, regardless of what happens in the lame duck session.
Okay, so this session won't have any impact on that.
It doesn't appear to me.
Okay.
Because what happened in that case is that the Republicans were able to intervene in that case just by filing a motion with the court and asking the court to let them in, and the court did allow that. In other litigation, either existing or future litigation, there wouldn't be a question for a judge as to whether to let lawmakers come in. They would just, the law would say they have an automatic right to become part of cases and to put their own attorneys on these cases.
Okay. That's one of the many things. So there's been a big national dialogue about this situation. That's one of the things that's been brought up. Another thing that I saw brought up, you know, there have been arguments that a similar thing happened when Governor Walker took office. Is that accurate?
So Governor Walker won in November of 2010, and in the lame duck period before he was seated as governor, the Democrats, who controlled all of state government, tried to pass the labor contracts for state workers. They convened, they got it through the assembly, they came up short in the Senate. Two Democratic senators defected and sided with the Republicans and voted the contracts down. So, yes, there was a lame duck session, which Republicans were very frustrated by at the time. They didn't think it was fair that just before a new governor was seated, they passed a labor contract that would have cost taxpayers, I don't know what the figure was, but were millions of dollars in additional pay. So that is true. Democrats at that time did not try to change other state laws during the lame duck period. They did not do something that is anywhere near as sweeping as what the Republican legislators are looking at right now.
So they weren't trying to limit the power of
Governor Walker. That's correct. They did not do anything to limit the powers of Walker or to limit the powers of the Republican Attorney General at the time. They didn't make changes like that.
Patrick Marley covers the state capitol for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He spoke with Joy Powers. Following our conversation with him, the Wisconsin Elections Commission released vote totals statewide, which showed that in the state Senate, GOP candidates received just over 50% of the vote, but retained around 64% of the seats that were up for election in 2018.
Governor-elect Tony Evers was asked about the lame duck session and the legislation at a media availability on Sunday. This was his response.
We had 2.6 million people in the state of Wisconsin voting in that election and thinking carefully about that vote. And I believe that, and I've heard from many of them, that their concerns are as valid as mine, that this special session bill, it will take us to a place that the people of Wisconsin will feel that their vote has not been counted or valued.
You can find more of our coverage at WUWM.com.